Welcome to the Art of Strategic Reaction podcast. I'm Kyle Brost, a strategist and changemaker. I'm the CEO of Spark Policy Institute, founder and principal at Choice Strategy Group, and contributor to Forbes, Thrive Global, and Influencive. I lead at the intersection of strategy and impact, where I turn ordinary individuals into strategists and changemakers. Let's get started. Hey, folks, this is Kyle Brost, and this is the Art of Strategic Reaction podcast. Today, I have on Nathan Resnick, who is the founder of Sourcify. I'm really excited to talk to Nathan. He's had an incredible entrepreneur journey, and his latest endeavor, Sourcify, is a really fascinating one around manufacturing and connecting entrepreneurs and organizations with the right manufacturers overseas, making that process simple. He also has some other startups that we can talk about, just in general, what his experience in entrepreneur has been like. So, Nathan, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Awesome. So I gave a quick intro. Do you want to just tell us a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, totally. You know, my background stems directly in China and in e-commerce. I was one of 48 American high school students that the government sent over in China to live with a host family that didn't speak English, attended local Chinese high school for a full year. And that's when I got so excited by the power of these factories to produce all sorts of products. Started selling products on Amazon and eBay in high school. And then always wanted to create my own product. So ended up inventing the first leather watch strap without holes in college worth like a zip tie, like those belt buckles. We grew it to a six-figure store on Shopify within the first year. And then realized so many companies are struggling to manufacture products overseas. Huge opportunity there. So went out and created the fastest growing B2B sourcing platform that's backed by Y Combinator that now helps hundreds of different companies manufacture products around the world. Called Sourcify. And really, I think the beauty behind what we do is we get to help companies produce the most amazing products and do it faster and more cost effectively than anyone else in the world.
Very cool. So there's a lot we can jump into there. How did you find out about the experience in China as a high school kid?
That's a good question. So I kind of got, I think, my sister in some sense, where she was studying Spanish in high school, and you know, brother always got to be different than your sister. So ended up started studying Chinese my freshman year of high school and just got pretty fascinated by the language and culture. My neighbor did this program that I ended up doing as well, but did it the year before me. That took me to this Chinese dinner and was speaking fluent Mandarin. The waiter telling me all these crazy stories. And I was like, wow, this sounds unbelievable. And applied for the program. Got in, and you know, my mother was at first very excited by it and then realized I'd be away from home for a full year and said, you know, I don't really want you to go. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go. You know, this is an experience of a lifetime. And committed to living in China for a full year without ever having gone to Asia before. And I think really that's enabled me to become so adaptive and open-minded, just having lived with a host family in a completely different country.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you legitimately lived with a family that didn't speak English.
Yeah, that's correct.
And you didn't speak any Chinese, Mandarin, anything?
I spoke some, you know, but at the time we were studying Mandarin for 4 or 5 hours a day. And, you know, I'm now nearly fluent in Mandarin. So still communicate with my host family to this day. You know, we were just chatting the other night, actually. And, you know, really just have that kind of international connection now.
That is awesome. So tell me what the experience was. There are a couple of questions. One, I do want to ask you about Y Combinator, because I think some of the listeners might not be familiar with what that is. But I also want to talk about just your experience in launching the watch band. So what was that like? How did you come up with the idea? And what were some of the first steps you took?
Yeah, you know, the watch strap really stemmed from just kind of, you know, number one, I wasn't a watch guy per se, but I was always creative. And so I saw what other companies were doing with these belt buckles and realized that there was such a big opportunity to do this for watch straps. So ended up inventing the first leather watch strap without holes. We had this brand called Yes Man, where we'd go out, you know, sponsor different pool parties at the Hard Rock Hotel or different clubs. I mean, it was awesome. And we also had a great e-commerce presence fueled through social media and just, you know, really realized the power of building a brand and building that brand equity And the hardest thing about that was manufacturing the products. You know, even though I had my, you know, experience living in China, speak Mandarin and had those connections there, bringing that product to life was, there was so much back and forth involved that I realized these struggles and really how hard it was to manufacture these products. So, you know, saw a bigger opportunity to create more of a software platform to solve that problem rather than continue to sell watches. So ended up selling that company in 2016. You know, not a big exit, but gave me some cash in college, which was nice. And, you know, enabled me to have some freedom. So started, you know, just toying with different e-commerce companies, selling all sorts of different products, and, you know, realizing and kind of diving deeper into this problem that people and companies are struggling to manufacture products.
I think that's really interesting. So there's two pieces here. One is I want to dive more into how you actually came up with the idea. But then the second piece is this idea that sometimes you get started down one path and it's really in your periphery that you find the biggest opportunities. And it sounds like that's what happened, right? You started down this path with the watch strap, and then in your periphery, you started to see this challenge that people were facing around how to manufacture their products in a really cost-efficient, effective way. So let's, in terms of actually coming up with the idea, how did you come up with the idea? Did you start, say, with the idea that you just wanted to come up with a product, or was it that specific product that spurred the launch of an e-commerce store?
You know, I had been selling products on eBay and Amazon, so I was familiar with e-commerce marketplaces, but realized that for creating your own brand and really, you know, establishing and building your own product, Shopify is the way to go. They got, you know, there's BigCommerce as well, which is amazing. Shopify and BigCommerce are really the two main companies you want to work with. But, you know, realize that marketplace dynamics are a lot different than, you know, Shopify and BigCommerce dynamics, because on a marketplace, you know, you already have traffic, you already have customers that are shopping. Whereas on, you know, Shopify or BigCommerce, you got to go out and get traffic to your website. So it's a different dynamic, and the margins are typically higher on Shopify or BigCommerce, but, you know, you got to spend money or figure out a sustainable way to drive traffic.
Interesting. So what were some of the challenges you faced right away when you launched this e-commerce store selling these watch straps?
I mean, number one, the actual fulfillment side. You know, I remember when we had the watches come in, we got like 1,000 watches produced our first run. Had to ship like 600 of them out pretty much same day because we had all these customers waiting for their products. We originally launched on Kickstarter, and I bought the wrong labels. Like, we had this printing machine and the labels we had didn't correlate to those printing machines. So ended up having to hand write like 600 labels with our team in one night. And it turned into this like, amazing customer story where, you know, companies or people like our customers thought that we had purposely hand wrote these labels to show how much we care about them, when in actuality, you know, we just didn't have a label that worked with the printing machine that we had bought, and we had to get the products out as fast as we could and wanted to show that dedication. So ended up handwriting 600 labels in one night, which was a lot of pizza and beer involved in that night.
So that is funny. So your customers actually saw that as a kind of a value add. They felt like you were really reaching out to them individually.
Oh, 100%. You know, same type of feeling when you get a, you know, handwritten note from a, you know, company you work with, or right. It's just that same dynamic. So we didn't do it on purpose, but that's what it turned into. And, you know, we had a video we put together of handwriting these labels, and it was cool, but, you know, it took a lot of time. And I think especially as you scale up in the e-commerce world or just in general, you got to focus on your strengths as a CEO. You know, you got to figure out what you're best at, do more of that, and then hire a team around your weaknesses.
I love how you turned this mistake into something that customers really appreciated. I mean, that's a great, you know, it was kind of an accident, but a great way of strategic thinking, especially capturing some video of it and showing people what that process looked like.
That's what you got to do.
That's cool. So you mentioned that you're part of Y Combinator, and I know a little bit about what that is, but I don't think a lot of the audience may know what Y Combinator is. So can you explain to them what that is?
Yeah, totally. So Y Combinator is the most famous startup investment firm in the world. They've backed, you know, Airbnb, Dropbox, Stripe. I mean, their success rate is incredible. But it's also an amazing community. And so they have so many different, you know, mentors, not only from e-com, not only from successful companies, but also from the startup community that you have access to. And it's a 3-month program, happens in the winter and spring. You know, highly recommend people to apply because it's just an amazing experience that really helps take your company to that next level. So we just went through it, you know, from January to end of March, and it was awesome. I mean, not only pushed us and challenged us, but the access to the network and the amount of, you know, information we were able to learn in such a short amount of time was what made it so valuable.
So how did you apply? And then as part of that application, are you guaranteed funding when you're part of Y Combinator?
Yeah, so you just apply online. You know, I think ycombinator.com is the site. And the application process is pretty straightforward, but really, you know, the interview is what counts there. And so if you're fortunate enough to get brought into an interview, I kind of got a funny story where I applied and I was in China, you know, I was at our Guangzhou office, and they sent me an email. They're like, hey, we're going to be here on Friday. And I was like, well, I'm in China, you know, how am I supposed to get there by Friday? And so I had to, you know, ask them to push it back. So I pushed it back, I think, a week, and ended up getting there. And, you know, it was just such a deep dive. And I think really the true value there in the interview process is you're interviewing with their partners. You know, I thought it might be like some associates or whatnot, like a typical VC fund or something. You know, I was in an interview with Sam Altman, you know, president of Y Combinator, one of the most famous guys in the startup entrepreneurship world. And he was asking me, you know, very deep diving questions about my thoughts and entrepreneurial journey and process. And so, you know, interviews are quick though, 10, 15 minutes, you're out of there. And if they want you in, they give you a call back the same day. You know, I think that's the beauty behind it, is they are able to make decisions so fast because they know what they believe in and know, you know, really how to tell if a founder has the right drive and perseverance to make a company successful.
Nice. So how nervous were you going into that?
You know, it's a good question. I was thinking a lot about it. I prepared a bit, but I didn't want to over prepare. And so I just went for it. I mean, it is a nail biting environment though. You know, the people that are kind of on deck waiting for the interviews are very, very nervous. I, you know, tried not to be nervous, but I definitely was, you know, nervous as soon as I walked in the room. And, you know, it was smooth. You know, time flies when you're in an interview. And I think that's really kind of shows, when an interview goes well. It doesn't seem like it took that long. It went very smooth and fast, and it was cool.
I like it. So how long until you found out that they accepted you?
3 hours, quick phone call. You know, Nathan, we want you in. We really like what you're building at Sourcify. And I said yes on the spot. You know, there wasn't too much to ask and go back and forth with. I, you know, believed in what they're doing as a program and as a VC firm, and, you know, really had a great experience going through their program.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
All right. So you exit your watch band company, your e-commerce store. And what happens after that?
You know, after that, I went to travel. I was in Europe for about 7 months in 2016, which was awesome. I mean, I did a great Euro trip with some of the money that I had made off that watch company after selling it, and went all over Greece and Italy and Portugal and Spain and Holland. I mean, it was incredible. I love Europe. But after a while of traveling, you know, you realize you want to do more. And for me, I always had that kind of entrepreneurial bug. And I was like, you know what, I got to do something. So I went, you know, I headed back home to Maryland where I grew up, and was back at home. And, you know, I had a lot of friends that were working corporate jobs. And I've only worked for someone else once in my life, which is pretty interesting. And there was this kind of feeling where a lot of my friends were like pressuring me to get a job. Obviously, my mom was like, Nathan, you know, you got to go get a job. And so I ended up, you know, actually, I remember I applied for this company, Flexport, that was like a very fast growing startup and still is a very fast growing freight forwarding startup that also went through Y Combinator. I applied and, like, basically they, you know, wanted me in, but I wanted to start my own company. And I was like, you know what, like, I'm going to move back to California. You know, that's where I think you got to be if you want to start a fast growing startup. You know, I'm not saying that you can't be anywhere in the world. You can grow a company anywhere in the world. But I'm saying within my friend group on the East Coast, there wasn't many entrepreneurial people in my friend group. So I felt kind of concealed. Whereas on the West Coast in San Diego and San Francisco, I have so many friends that have started their own companies and grown their own companies. So move back to San Diego and started building Sourcify, and I started figuring out how I can take this company to the next level. Ended up getting accepted to a, you know, nice incubator program here in San Diego called Evo Nexus, got me further connected to the community, and then continued to build, you know, focus on customers from day one. We literally started sourcing products for companies from day one. You know, we didn't start by building any, you know, crazy software or crazy, you know, business plan. We literally just went out, started hitting companies up and saying, hey, we can produce your products for you faster, more cost effectively. And now that we have this software built out and this amazing team, we're super confident in our ability and, you know, really excited by the power that we instill in ourselves and the companies we work with to produce these products for them.
Now, so when you had this bug, right, this itch to start another business or being in another startup, how did you deal with the competing demands? I mean, your mom wants you to get a job. There's a lot of pressure out there to get a job, right, and to find some stability. How did you deal with that competing, those competing voices when inside you wanted to be this entrepreneur?
It was more so, I think, just a matter of like, I knew I could start this company because I've known the problems that we were solving. And so I just went out and like dove deep. You know, I think so many people think about doing things before they actually do them. And like, you can't think for too long. You know, if you stay in the thought process and thought cycle, you aren't going to move forward. And I've always been action oriented. You know, if I want to do something, I'll do it right now. And I think that's the mindset that you have to have, you know, just start right now. What's the point of waiting?
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that. And what you said early on, you know, that you knew you could do it, having a really strong sense of confidence that you could go out and do it is so key. And it's hard to do that, though, when there's other voices, you know, telling you to be more cautious, to slow down, to take a different route. But I love that you went out and did it. And the idea of just getting out and taking action, you know, one of the things I always tell people is you can't steer a car until it's moving. And so you can't really find your direction. You can't discover your confidence. You can't, you know, produce what you want to in the world until you actually take that first step.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, that's the whole dynamic right there is, you know, really understanding your vision, understanding what drives you. I mean, the other thing that I'll say too is you see so many, you know, people that go out there and create companies around a problem or topic they don't know much about. And so, you know, with that in mind, I think you got to first ask yourself, like, am I interested in solving the problem? Like, am I going to be excited by this problem in 10 years? If not, probably not worth your time. So focus on the long term, you know, success doesn't happen overnight.
Absolutely. And actually, it just reminds me as you're saying that, you know, I acquired a company last year that all we do is research massive world problems. I mean, literally my team researches poverty and healthcare access and environmental sustainability and infant mortality and all of these massive problems. But it was that idea that I don't know if I would ever gravitate toward just one problem, but the idea of really exploring these really complex problems was exciting to me. So it was that thing that I could say, wow, if I buy this company, it's something that in 10 or 15 years, I'll still be really excited about doing because right. There's always new problems to explore and try to solve.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so now to Sourcify. So tell me what this process would look like. I have this product, and this is a true story. I have this product that I came up with. It's a phenomenally simple product that I came up with, probably 6 years ago. And over the course of 6 years, about once every year or so, I get a little bit of an itch to do something with it. And I will either try to redesign it or I'll send it out to some people for prototypes. And I've probably gone through, 4 or 5 rounds of prototypes, but I haven't gotten what I'm hoping for out of it. And I don't have the expertise to solve that. It involves trying to create some pliability with metal, trying to balance, you know, weight and cost and all of these things. So if this is my product and I'm trying to do something with it, how does Sourcify help me out?
Yeah, so basically it's pretty simple. I mean, if you've got your product specs, you just go to our platform, submit the product you want to manufacture. We automatically send that product out to factories we've pre-vetted in that product category. They see your product, submit back price bids and quotes on our platform. You see those quotes and start sampling your process and start going through a production run. So makes it so much faster and so much more streamlined in the current process. Because right now, you got to go out, number one, figure out if the factory you're working with is actually a factory, if they're legit, you know, figure out what the heck's going on with them. And number two, you know, really understand if the price that you're getting is a good price. So for us, you know, we do that all for you. We walk you through a whole production run. And that's the beauty behind it, is enabling you to get through a production process faster, more cost effectively than ever before.
Well, I mean, for me personally, I love that idea, because so far all I've done are really small batch prototypes, because that's what I can get at a place that I'm familiar with, that I can go walk into and trust, because I don't have somebody who's vetting that process for me.
Right.
What if I don't know all of the specs of the product? What if I just have, if I know what I want it to do, I know, you know, what it should kind of look and feel like, but I couldn't tell you, you know, the kind of material that should be used to make it. What if there are some holes in my specs?
I mean, all that, if you have a sample or something, or have, you know, something similar, you just send it over our Guangzhou office and we handle the rest.
So you'd actually take a look at it and you'd say, hey, you know, this group can make it, or you would say, well, okay, based on what you're telling us and what we have in front of us, here's what you're going to have to do next.
Right, exactly.
Interesting. And so how do you get paid for it? Is it a flat rate? Is it a percentage?
Yeah, so right now we charge a flat rate to handle production, but you know, usually in the future, what will, you know, typically comes about 5 to 10% of the total PO value.
So tell me, what are some of the biggest success stories you've had so far?
I mean, there's been so many different case studies. I can say some of my favorite, where, like, for example, we had this e-commerce entrepreneur that was getting screwed on Alibaba, came to us and was like, look, I want to start my own watch brand. And he created his own watch brand called Thomas Felice, these awesome watches, like the hands have anchors on them and other cool objects, really awesome brand that we're able to manufacture for him faster, more cost effectively than ever before, through our software and platform. And so stuff like that is amazing. You know, you have companies too that are buying through trading companies or wholesalers, where we cut their unit cost by an average of about 32%. You know, we do a lot of different things for companies in terms of cutting costs, extending product lines, bringing new products to life. You know, we're really adding that transparency and visibility into your supply chain.
I love it. So I guess a question is, one of the things that's happening that we see, and one of my companies is a strategy, corporate strategy firm. And so we do a lot of corporate strategy. And one of the shifts that we see is more and more attention to how they're sourcing products in terms of environmental sustainability, in terms of, you know, global impact on people, planet, profits, that kind of triple bottom line thing. Do you guys have anything that you are doing by way of that, so that if I'm trying to source something, you can tell me, hey, you know, this is a quality provider and they have these things in place? Have you gotten to that point yet?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're able to see, you know, a lot of the impacts that happen, and, you know, really kind of understanding what certificates each factory needs to have. You know, for example, there's RAF certificates now, which are very sustainably oriented. And that's really kind of the beauty behind what we do, is, you know, we're here for the planet, trying to help everyone that we can. And, you know, we aren't going to work with any factories that are shady, that are, you know, having poor labor conditions. You know, we have no tolerance for that.
Awesome. So what comes next for you? I mean, you've got Sourcify up and running. I anticipate that you're growing it and that you expect it to continue to grow. What does that course look like to you?
I mean, this year will grow by about 300%. So just managing growth, and next year will probably grow by another 400%. So, you know, really Sourcify takes up pretty much all my time right now. I used to do a lot of e-commerce stuff myself, and I used to write a lot. And, you know, now I still love running e-commerce companies and writing, but, you know, we've got so much going on at Sourcify that it's hard to, you know, focus elsewhere. And for me, I just love what we're doing right now.
That's awesome. And exciting. I mean, those are some phenomenal numbers, obviously.
You know, makes the investors happy, right?
Yeah, definitely. So it's fascinating. You started this based on a problem that you had, you know, a tough time solving. What are the problems you face now, though? I mean, you're solving a problem for other people, but in your own, you know, growth, there's got to be some challenges that you're facing. What are those for you at this point?
Hiring the right people. If you got amazing, you know, experience in supply chain, e-commerce, manufacturing, or sales, hit me up. I mean, we're recruiting every day. I spend a lot of my time trying to get the right team on board. You know, if you want to see our jobs, just go on AngelList and type in Sourcify. You know, we're always looking to bring the right team members on board and really excited by growing an amazing culture and team here at Sourcify.
Well, and that's a perfect area to be focused on. I mean, aside from how great the systems and everything are, at some point, somebody has to do something. And unless you have the right people in there doing that and a culture that supports those right actions, you're already aware of it. But mm-hmm. it's going to be phenomenally difficult to scale the business.
Yeah.
Well, what lessons learned do you have throughout this journey of entrepreneurship? I mean, you've had some great successes. Sourcify obviously has a phenomenal potential. What are some of your key lessons learned throughout this process?
I would say, you know, don't stop. You see a lot of companies that fail because the founders quit. You know, at the end of the day, there's no magic ticket. There's no, you know, golden nugget. You got to put in the work every day to make it happen. And I think that's really where you see companies become successful. And it doesn't matter, you know, how much your competitor raised. It doesn't matter how much, you know, any company raises. It matters what you do. You know, it matters what your company does. And for us, you know, and especially in today's world, there's so many distractions. You have to stay focused. And so that's really, you know, I think the best advice I can give is stay focused on your goals.
I like it. I like it a lot. So what are some ways that you stay focused? So when you wake up in the morning and you've got, you know, 16 hours staring at you, how do you personally stay focused on those goals and make yourself get out there and be productive?
Number one, go to the gym. I'm at the gym at 6 a.m. usually every morning, and you know, it clears my head. It's a great start to the day. And then if I have time, I write a little and then get to work. You know, it's so much going on in a company, and especially when you're growing this fast, there's so much to do. And so I think to stay focused, cut out distractions. You know, like during the week, I usually delete Instagram. You know, don't spend nearly as much time on social media as I used to. Like at the end of the day, you know, it doesn't matter what other people are doing. It matters what you're doing. You got to focus on your goals and get that, you know, make those results happen.
Amen. Yeah. I mean, that key right there, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It really matters what you're doing. I love it. Well, anything else that you would share with the audience?
You know, I would say just keep at it. You know, whatever you're doing, whatever you're passionate about, you know, success takes time. It takes time. Nothing comes overnight. You know, there's no golden ticket out there. Like people think, oh, you got a Y Combinator, you guys are going to crush it. It's like, yeah, we got a Y Combinator. That's great. But, you know, you still got to go out and build a great company too. There's no secret sauce out here.
Yeah. It reminds me of a story I heard once of this man who he, you know, put in the hours and he wrote this book, and it was a pretty short read. And nothing ever happened really with the book until eventually somebody stumbled across it who was a pretty popular blogger, and they just happened to stumble across it on accident, but they loved it and they shared it on their blog, and all of a sudden this book blew up, you know, mm-hmm. and it sold like 100,000 copies. And he tells this story. He was sitting at dinner with his family, and one of his family members said, well, yeah, you sure got lucky that, that blogger found mm-hmm. your book. And he had to stop him. He said, yeah, you know, I may have got lucky that the blogger found the book, but that wouldn't have happened unless I wrote the book.
Yeah.
And so you can look at all of these successful people and you can say, well, yeah, they got lucky. You know, he got supported by Y Combinator and he got all of those things, but that wouldn't have happened unless you took the first steps.
Exactly. Exactly.
So whatever it looks like luck to you, you've got to ask yourself, what did they do to put themselves in that position? Because you know, we create that luck through our own efforts and actions.
Definitely. I agree.
That's great. Great insight. Thanks for sharing that with us. I love hearing about your story. I'm excited to see where Sourcify goes. And I'll probably be a customer here as I try to get excited about this product that's been lingering for 6 years. It's probably time to do something with that, huh?
Yeah, let us know how we can help. You know, always happy to bring your products to life.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Nathan. Thanks, listeners, for joining in. Excited to see where Nathan and Sourcify and we'll be talking to you on the next episode. Awesome. Thanks so much. This was the Art of Strategic Reaction.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.